You're with Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, joined in studio by Tracy Ross, as well as Bren Jones and Michael Robinson.
Bren, Michael, good morning. Thanks for coming by today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Bren, congratulations. You won the national championship at the Catholic Forensic Speech Tournament in Sacramento, California. I guess, first of all, I would have pegged you for a DI or a duo or something like that. How did you come to do oratory?
Well, I had a topic that I was really interested in. I've always loved writing, and I just love presenting my ideas. And I went to the qualifying tournament in both an acting category and my oratory, and my oratory happened to compete really well. I was like, oh, this is something that has the potential to be successful, so...
Well, what's the topic and what inspired you to write it?
Well, I asked my coach, like, what would be a good topic to write about? He said, write about slang. So I decided to take that and kind of go in a different direction, sort of. So it's about, like, the danger of linguistic elitism in reference to young people and the way they speak.
Yeah, that's some light material.
Yeah.
Do you have a snippet that you'd like to do for us?
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah. I'll do, like, the third paragraph, the what does all of this mean after all the information. Okay. So, what does this mean? Well, I don't want to be a fundist, but we do have to delve into some of the sociological implications of our analysis. Have you ever seen a salad spinner advertised on those weird 3 a.m. infomercials? You put the lettuce in the center and it spins and the water goes flying out? Well, even though he did not mention infomercial salad spinners, that was essentially what was said by Russian sociolinguist Mikhail Bakhtin. He said that the power of language is in the center being the educated, the antiquated, and the powerful, and when that power is flung to the outside, being the hands of the many, that can be very threatening. When my father has to ask me what dab on that means, that's a shift in power. He's lost some of the authority associated with outdated language. Jonathan Swift is best known for writing Gulliver's Travels, but in 1711 he wrote a lengthy essay called A Proposal for Correcting, Improving, and Ascertaining the English Tongue, in which he said he wanted English to be documented and maintained like Latin. Well, no offense, Mr. Jonathan Swift, but there's a reason Latin is dead. Times change, things are invented, things are left behind, and things still fall into disuse. Video game culture created the word owned, which via a slip in the keystroke became pwned, which later dropped the E and then fell out of the lexicon entirely to be replaced with wrecked. And this may be humorous, but change is the fundamental, fundus, part of human communication.
Wow. What was more difficult, writing or delivering the speech?
At first, it was definitely the writing. It's difficult to create a speech that captures everything you want to say but still be under the time limit. You know, at first I was way over the time limit. And then when it kept progressing, when I kept breaking into more and more rounds and more people were following me or watching me and coming up to me afterwards to talk to me, it was getting more and more difficult to present it.
Michael, I think coaches kind of know, you kind of have an instinct on what to expect before a big tournament. Did you have any expectation of this level of success for Bren and her piece?
Bren is an outstanding student, and she is full of energy. She loves challenges, and she works hard to meet every single one that's put in front of her. And for the last 2 years, she's gone to this tournament at the national level and has excelled. She made it to quarterfinals her freshman year, and she made it to octofinals last year, so that success was there. But it seemed that the further she went on with competition, the more challenges were put there, and the more she was happy to kind of see them be thrown her way. At one point, she had to perform in a booth. Can you explain that, Bren, exactly what happened?
I'm not sure how it came about, but there was this enormous conference hall at one of the competition sites, and octafinals is where there are 8 rooms of 6 all competing, and to make it to the next round, you have to be in the top half of your room of 6. And we had this giant conference hall, and there were 2 categories, so 16 rooms of 6 all in one room divided into cubicles with curtains, so we could all very clearly hear each other. I could hear kids, like, screaming in other categories across the conference center, so I had to make sure that I could be heard without screaming at the judges.
How many competitors were in the original oratory category?
Basically, CFL splits the United States into 66 dioceses, so pretty much every state, and then the big states like Texas and New York are split up. And there are qualifying tournaments, and each diocese can send, you know, five or six. So there's already a huge amount of competition just to get there, you know, so it was really cool to even go. And then when we got there, that's about a little over 300 people competing at that tournament.
There were over 1,000 altogether competing at the tournament in the various categories.
2,000. Yeah. I always think that it doesn't matter how good the competitor or how strong the piece, to win a significant tournament, it takes at least a one instance of luck. Can you remember the point in your tournament to where luck was on your side to get you to the finals?
Oh, yeah. With speech, it's a lot about what rooms you get in. I know at this tournament there was like the young man who'd won the Harvard tournament this year was at the tournament. I only had to face him once, but there were probably others who faced him multiple times. There were the girl who I was sure would have beaten me and the boy who I also thought was sure to beat me. I hadn't seen them the whole tournament. So there was a lot of luck in the rooms that you're in to face off against different people.
And how close was the judging in the finals? Do you know?
It was pretty strongly in my favor. It's very nice in speech. The way it's judged is by ranking the room of six in order from one to six. And there are five judges in the final round, and I went 1-1-1-1-4. So one guy just really didn't like me. But
that's a spectacular, Brynn.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Michael, Brynn, I know that you're both just over the moon with the performance. And thank you both for taking some time to speak with me today.
Of course.
Thank you for having us.
We're Murray State's WKMS, your home for music and news that sound good.